finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. That's right. I go away from the controllers for a week, and I don't know how to use them. Yes, that's right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on GLS. It is August 26th, 2018. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Yeah, apologies for the absence last week, by the way. I was feeling unwell. I'm feeling better now. I just had a little bit of a sore throat, and it sounded froggy. I actually did record an episode. No, I didn't record an episode. Why would I lie to you? What enjoyment would I get for lying to you? I wouldn't get any, trust me. But no, it was quite bad, my voice last week, and I don't think I could have sustained an hour of programming last week. So, and the Shuffle the News show was just so good, and I didn't want to bring it down with a show that was subpar to that. But trust me, oh boy, have we got a good show lined up for you today. And it all kicks off with the headlines.
On to the news!
That's right, on to the headlines. An interesting little headline today, or this week in fact. The hacker or hackers responsible for Ashley Madison data breach could face a shopping cart of charges, according to CBC.ca. That's right, it's a Canadian website. But first, the police must identify and arrest them. In the meantime, adultery-promoting website AshleyMadison.com and its parent company, Avid Life Media, are themselves targets of legal action. Much depends on what actually happened and will happen in the case, but for now, the most possible charges between extortion, theft, and mischief to property. On Monday, Toronto police said two unconfirmed suicides are linked to the breach. Prominent criminal lawyer Michael Lursey says even those deaths are confirmed. No charges in Canada against the so-called Impact Team hackers as a result of those possible suicides are likely. The Canadian Criminal Code Section 214 covers the offence of counselling or aiding suicide. But Lucy says it requires active encouraging or suggesting someone kill themselves, which doesn't seem to be the case in this situation. Quote, it requires more than simply putting something out there that causes someone to believe that they had no choice but to take their own lives, he says. We'll hear more from him at the end of the headlines. We'll have this story before the break. In breaking news, however, tonight, Universal Music Group and SoundCloud are quote-unquote, days away from finalizing a mutual agreement, with sources close to the negotiations pointing to a pact, particularly by the end of the week. Oh boy. The deal follows a massively protected multi-year crankuous tug-of-war over licensing costs and a range of other issues with critical finances and a stable of lawyers hovering over the sidelines. You could hover over sidelines, right? And that's a show title, Hovering Over Sidelines. Okay. You got it already. You could pause for a one-man show to do show titles. It's a requirement here on the show. According to key sources with knowledge of the negotiations, the deal with Universal contains a substantial percentage stake in SoundCloud with a significant upfront payment likely but not confirmed. that bears similarity to ongoing major label licenses with mega streamers like Spotify and reflects an interest in capturing an elephantine, or effatine, I don't know how to say that, payout around a liquidation event. Excuse me. Welcome to the deal-making philosophy, one that recently bore fruit for Universal when Beats sold to Apple for north of $3 billion. At substantial Beat owners, UMG parent Valensity captured more than $400 million in that transaction, though little, if any, of either upfront or post-liquidation payments are substantially shared with artists, according to the information shared by Eternity's close to major label contracts. Yeah, I would believe that. I would believe that not many people would see, not many artists would definitely see the money at the end of those deals, because the artists would get their cut from the streaming services and not from the record labels directly. Hang on, I have to cough. Excuse me. My apologies for that. And I have to announce it loud and proudly too, because that's just how I roll. I'm going to turn my microphone volume up just because I can. In other news, ever since Apple released its MacBook Air laptop, PC vendors have been trying to play catch-up by making their own super sleek ultra-portables. By the way, ultra-portable is what an Apple MacBook is, for those not in the know. This explains why the Asus ZenBook UX 305 bears more than passing resemblance of the MacBook Air. But while Apple has restated in its lures with the Air, PC makers have caught up and overtaken it. Yeah, that's right. The ZenBook is an ultrabook that surpasses the Air in nearly every single area. Its screen is one of those areas. It is a 3200 by 1800 non-touch in-plane switching display with excellent viewing angles. You got to have those excellent viewing angles. In comparison, the Air still does not have a high-resolution Retina display of Apple's other products. The Air's viewing angle is ultra-loosed, as it twists numeric technology instead of superior IPS technology and other graphical areas as well. And by the way, it passes it on sales too, so sales is a plus for the Asus laptop as well. The security researcher who hacked... Oh, by the way, no. By the way, no, before we get into the next headline, it is a Wednesday night. It is a GLS show. You know what else? It wouldn't be a typical GLS show if we didn't have hacking and cars in the news. So here you go, those hardcore GLS fans, early days, that's all GLS was reporting hackers in cars. So here's one for you guys. The security researcher who hacked into a moving Jeep has quit his job with Twitter after 3 years with the social media firm. Charlie Miller, one of the most prominent researchers in the security industry, today announced he is leaving Twitter's security team. Quote, after 3 years, I am stepping down from protecting the tweets effective Friday. Good times, great co-workers, but it's time to move on. Be free, tweets, Mr. Miller said in a tweet overnight. Is that longer than 140 characters? I think it is. After 3 years, I am stepping down from protecting tweets. Effective Friday. Good times. Great. Yeah, that's longer than 140 characters. Earlier this year, Mr. Miller, along with Chris Valasak of IO Active, hacked a car traveling at 113 kilometers per hour over the internet, commanding and steering it on a motorway using a laptop and a smartphone. And we reported that story right here on GLS, hence the joke. The hackers took control over a 2-ton Jeep Cherokee using its mobile phone connection and implemented software in its internal computer network. They could then send commands to the car's electronic systems, including the brakes, gearbox, and steering wheel. By the way, Jeep would like to remind folks that they actually patched the Jeep Cherokee software so you could no longer do so. But it is pretty nifty that they could do that. And finally, for decades now, the scientists have argued about what happens to the information relating to the death of a star that forms a black hole. It is known that nothing, not even light, can escape from a black hole owing its intense gravitational pull. Quantum mechanics, though, says that information cannot be destroyed. General relativity says it must be. Hence, information loss paradox. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. All right. In the 1970s, Stephen Hawking said that black holes could emit information loss photons via quantum fluctuations. Tiny perturbations in space-time, called Hawking radiation. But in 2004, he produced a new theory that claimed that information could actually escape from a black hole. How that would occur wasn't clear, but now he says he has an answer. Quote, I promise that the information is not stored in the interior of the black hole, as one might expect. It's on the boundary, even the event horizon, end quote, he says to yesterday at the KTH Royal Institute of Technology in Stockholm, Sweden. Specifically, he says, quote, a super translation, unquote, takes place, which is essentially a hologram of information. It means that information could survive and escape from a black hole at the event horizon, the boundary of which nothing is said to be able to break free. If we could play licensed music on this show, I could have so much fun. They key this to the theory is Hawking radiation. Hawking says it could pick up information and move it beyond the event horizon. But it's not all good news, as the information is essentially useless. Quote, the information about ongoing particles is returned, but in a chaotic and useless form, said Hawking. This results in an information paradox. For practical purposes, the information is lost. Yes, that's right. So, on one hand, you have information. On the other hand, you have kind of useless information as well. So, it's not a catch-22, but it is a kind of all-encompassed, like, you kind of have information, but it's useless. So, the information in its pure form is lost. That's how I understand it, but I'm not really a science geek, so I should really stop talking and end the headline section. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to the feel-good story of the week. That's right. The feel-good story of the week, Ashley Madison. Oh, yes. I don't know why I said it like that. Not only did Ashley Madison get hacked and released a whole bunch of information to the public about usernames and the like as well. Does it say in this article how much information was leaked? And no, it doesn't say, unfortunately. But what it does say is that Ashley Madison could land itself 36 million email addresses. There you go. That's what it is. It does say on another article as well. That is linked to this article. It's very strange. But Ashley Madison not only landed themselves in hot water as a result of a hack, now what is being revealed is that Ashley Madison could be linked to two suicides and could be linked to a class action lawsuit, as well as just more information of this terrible, terrible hacking going on as well. So here we go. You know what I'm going to do? If you're watching the Hangout Live, I'm going to do something. You can hit on the Q&A button on the Hangout, and you can ask a question or add your comments in as well. Let's use the Q&A feature on the event page while you're watching this. If you're watching this via chefwondermedia.net/live, you probably wouldn't be, because I forgot to put it on there. Anyway, I forgot to embed the video. Whoops, I just remembered that. But use the Q&A feature on the Hangout. I want to get people's opinions on this one. But what I was saying is that now Ashley Madison, let's attack two things. Let's attack the possible charges. Let's give you an update on what is happening to the hackers now. The attorney, which we mentioned earlier, that says that Canadian Criminal Code Section 241 covers the offence of counselling or aiding suicide, but it requires actively encouraging suicide and that sort of thing, and the like. It says that under Canadian law, the predators could be charged with the following. So here is what the hackers could be charged for: theft, because proprietary interest in the data. By the way, I'm not going down the path of who would want the information, because I think, to answer that question real quickly, I think we know who wants the information. Mischief to property, which applies to someone who, quote, obstructs, interrupts, or interfaces with lawful use, with the lawful use, enjoyment, or operation of property, states the criminal code. Mischief in relation to computer data, which apparently is a separate charge. We'll get to that in a sec. Extortion, given the demand from the Impact team that Vivid Life Media, quote, take Ashley Madison and established men offline permanently in all forms, or we realize all the customer records, including profiles of all its customers, secret sexual fantasies and matching credit card transactions, real name, addresses, and employee documents and emails. Oh boy. So not only did they get the 30 million email addresses, they got they got real names, excuse me, addresses, employee documents, and sexual fantasies. Criminal harassment, but that depends on the way of which it was leaked or published. And intimidation, which is probably not the same as what you're thinking. It's a criminal thing, apparently. But this is not only a Canadian problem. American prosecutions have taken interest in the Ashley Madison case, and in the U.S., lastly, this attorney says, laws are likely to be more robust when it comes to offences arising from this kind of thing. Karen Eltis, a University of Ottawa professor who specialises in internet law and piracy law, points out that it's not only, federal law in the US that matters, especially state laws, she says that for financial crimes and extortion, states formulate their laws differently, so charges could depend on what state, what countries the victims are from. So say, for example, if some of the victims, if all of the victims are from the US, then does the US, I'm talking half out of my ass here, is, apologies for using that word, on a kind of, you know, family-friendly show. But anyway, a family-friendly show, we're talking about, talking about an affairs website. But you get the thinking. But anyway, I digress. For the most part. But, I don't, if those laws are taken more heavily in those types of situations. I mean, we are running a little bit out of time. So we've got to get going here, to some of these clips. I've got two clips here. The first clip, the interview with this attorney guy. It is 2:24. We'll be back on the other side.
Site and expose its users, but they may end up making them richer. Thomas Dagla explains.
Ashley Madison users may have hoped for an affair, but they expected secrecy. Now growing increasingly nervous, some are calling this lawyer. He's launching a class action suit against the website's Canadian parent company, alleging breach of privacy.
The phone is ringing off the hook. The emails are coming in nonstop, but so far we're over 200.
Charney says current and former users could be awarded as much as $750 million in damages.
Many of them are very concerned about their employment, especially if they're in the public sector and they were using a public sector email.
On the leaked list of purported Ashley Madison users, email addresses belonging to the RCMP, the Canadian Forces, the Canada Revenue Agency, and others. In the U.S., the Postal Service is investigating whether employees violated federal policy by using their government email address. The military is looking into it, too.
And of course, it's an issue because conduct is very important, and we expect good conduct on the part of our people.
In Canada, the Treasury Board oversees the public service and won't say whether it's investigating, only referring to government policy on acceptable network use. It does state that employees may surf the web or use social media on personal time. But today, a Canadian Press analysis of the Ashley Madison data found 76 credit card transactions made from Department of National Defense computers, another 25 from the House of Commons.
There's a lingering naivete about the nature of the internet as still being anonymous, which is not. So I think anyone who conducts an investigation needs to dispel those myths.
The parent company says it's cooperating with the police investigation, adding, "Our customers, this company, and its employees are all exercising their legal and individual rights and all deserve the ability to do so unhindered by outside interference, vigilantism, selective moralizing, and judgment. Even so, most still hope their secret remains a secret." Thomas Dagley, CBC News, Montreal.
Yeah, okay. First of all, this next clip is an interview with a policeman. My apologies there. Another thing as well, and that more addresses the investigative side of things. But I want to get more to litigation against Ashley Madison. By the way, Ashley Madison already has $760 million in national class action lawsuits led by Canadian law firms, Chassis Lawyers and Suits, Suts rather. Eddie's the professor mentions in here that the results from the hackers currently autonomy from the website, priding itself on being airtight in terms of piracy. She says a guarantee of privacy would probably be a factor in any civil litigation because customers rely on upon that guarantee, obligating a company to meet it. So, of course, if Ashley Madison doesn't meet that, then they have kind of a, what would be like a social responsibility to its companies and that sort of thing. We're going to get to, before we take a break here, we're going to get to this second clip from the policeman. Now, you'll note in this next clip, I edited out a little bit of the interview because I couldn't air it because it was kind of a weirdly phrased, it was more of a, I didn't want to air it because it was a really weird question. You'll hear the edit. Basically, what it means is, the idea is, what would you do if, you know, if you found out your workers were registered with Ashley Madison? That's pretty much the question, but it was really, it was worded with some really weird language that I didn't really want to air, and it uses an example in that clip that I didn't really want to air. So here is this second clip, and it's nearly 3 minutes long, and it's a snore fest, and I'll have the final word on the other side of this hacks. Enjoy this clip.
Because the company is based in Toronto, the Toronto Police Service is leading the international investigation into the hack. Superintendent for Specialized Investigations Bryce Evans joins me from Windsor. Now, a number of police enforcement agencies are involved. Can you tell me what's next for them?
Last week, we had reached out to our law enforcement partners, the FBI, Homeland Security, RCMP and OPP, and the Toronto Police Service. And what we asked for is them to bring the top cyber investigators they have within their certain law enforcement groups to meet with us, which they have. We're continuing our meeting to strategize as new information comes forward in this investigation, the best approach.
What specific expertise does the Toronto Police have in tracking down hackers?
Toronto Police has a very good unit. It's called we call it C3. Within the last year and a half, the Chief of Police, Mark Saunders, he formed this group, and we have experts in this group. But the magnitude of this investigation, we thought was best that we bring on more people to assist.
And you've even said you're hoping that hackers themselves, like Anonymous, for example, might help with this investigation. But why would they want to?
There's no doubt in my mind, with 30 million plus victims who are just on the Ashley Madison sites, are in a position that these hackers can be victims. They could also be family members or personal friends. And they're humans, too. And so we're looking on the hacker community to reach out and assist us. And as you know, Anonymous reached out recently in the last couple years to help the police investigation out in the East Coast in regards to the young lady that committed suicide because of the images that were captured. And Anonymous was the one that stepped up and found those images.
Well, you've mentioned the victims, and you've also referred to unconfirmed suicides in undisclosed locations. It's not very substantive. What more can you tell us?
Well, right now, we received information this morning that there was two persons who were actually on the list had committed suicide. That information, we're now trying to source it. It was brought to our attention. I know that CNN has reported an incident already, but we in the Toronto Police Service want to make sure we have our source information before we further speak about it. But just to make it perfectly clear, it's not unusual in the life of policing. We see people are very distraught. And there's no doubt because of this hack and information being released, there's going to be a lot of distraught people.
Enlist. What if there are police officers' names on there as well? Is it a conflict to investigate the crime?
No, not whatsoever. I mean, as you know, every corporation, business, media outlets, you guys have your rules of procedure regarding of using emails, companies with emails. We're no different. It's not a criminal offense, but what we will be doing is in Toronto, we will be having our professional standards review.
Thank you for joining us, Superintendent Bryce Evans.
Okay, thanks very much.
The idea that I know it's not a criminal offense technically to use your work email for to have affairs on websites, but it's certainly frowned upon. And in 30 seconds here, I'll articulate my argument here. The idea is that the hackers are the victims. That's ridiculous. I mean, the people who, before they, and by the way, hacking, no matter what type of hacking it is. It is an activity that is kind of, it is negative in its nature. It's kind of, it is meant to cause kind of uproar, and you know, it's meant to cause that sort of eruption. But I think that they could have been victims before then. It's not victim-y if you perform the hacking, and if you do more and you kind of do something viciously, you're no longer the victim, you're the attackee. As we continue here on GLS on a Wednesday, we're not a video gaming news site, we are a generic live show. As we continue, we're going to give you more of we're going to have various video game stories that'll make you excited and giddy. As we continue, it's 10:31.
ProXPN. ProXPN is a super secure VPN that believes you should be able to use the internet how you want to. By encrypting all traffic that goes through it, it keeps all of your data private. Your IP is completely hidden, so your location is secure and appears wherever you want it to. Keeps you safe from all of those silly cable six strike rules and more. Keep your traffic safe. Go to proxpn.com and use Geek20 for 20% off of their already really low prices starting at $6.25 a month. We want to thank ProXPN for your support of the Geek.io network.
Hey, you! Yes, you! Fine listener of this program, you can help us become more than what we already are. I know, it's a revolution. Hold on to your butts, because I'm about to give you a URL address that could change our lives. Not really, but it would help us out tremendously if you went over to geek-io.net/support, so we could do a lot more than what we're actually doing now. That website actually has a lot of links on it where you can help us out monthly through Patreon at our Patreon site at patreon.com/geekio, or you can help us out once off by supporting those who support us. But then you can become the ones who support us, who support you, who support us. It's supportception. To continue this supportception, it's in your hands. Go to geek-io.net/support to keep this ever-long cycle of support up. Thank you.
Hey, CJ Boat here from Small Screen Spoiler Show and the Geek.io Show, here to tell you about my brand new album, The Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos. Do you like post-apocalyptic fantasy novels? Then this is something for you. In this world, I spin a tale of fantastic creatures, vengeful gods, and even a cyborg dragon. Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos tells an engrossing story set in a rich and fleshed-out universe, and it deserves a place on your reading list. Head on over to geek-io.net/athelor and pre-order the novel now for just $4.99. That is geek-io.net/athalor.
This is JD. You know me from How It Stacks and other popular things that haven't quite caught on yet. But something that has caught on, that would be Think Geek. And everybody loves Think Geek because you can get Han Solo ice cubes, Daleks, sonic screwdrivers. Hell, I'm drinking a screwdriver now, but only because, you know, I love Think Geek. And you can get all of those things except for, you know, a screwdriver at geek.io.net/thinkgeek. And once again, I'm JD from How It Stacks and other things.
And now I'll climb up your mountain, so high above your trees, and spread my wings into your wind, and let my soul go free.
This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Across the sky, my soul is sailing out there, nowhere left to hide.
And this is your generic live show with Dale Campbell. Isn't that lovely song, by the way? Spread Your Wings by Charlie Musbrook. We often don't mention the songs, but I think it's so fitting. Let's listen to
And now it's moving across the sand. My soul is sailing out there, nowhere left to land. And now I fly above.
That's right. This is out to all the cheaters on Ashley Madison. You got your soul has
spread my wings,
land that
your
wings, yes,
and let my soul go free.
Yeah, that's a beautiful little song. I shouldn't mock it, nor should I associate it with this horribleness that's Ashley Madison. No, I shouldn't. I'm going to anyway. Why? Because I'm that type of person, yay. But no, that is a beautiful little song. Go check it out. It is an amazing song. It's beautiful. Go check it out. And I do like all of my bumper music that I can play here on the show. It is GLS. It is still Wednesday the 26th of August. I don't know why I'm telling you all this information again. I'm still Dale Campbell. I didn't, in that 5-minute break, change my name real quick. I wouldn't do that. Not on the show. Not while I'm trying to push buttons on the show. It is just too much work. You know what else is too much work? But no, I'm just kidding. It is video game time on GLS. Diablo 3. Yes. That's right. If you've been thinking about jumping back into the entire world of Diablo, you mightn't be poor. It mightn't be a poor time with patch 2.3 rolling out worldwide today. It's among Blizzard's huge patches with fresh wasteland to investigate and fresh arsenal of enabling players to catalog their re-owned skills, profession trailing for seasons, and a new torment degrees from 7 to 10. All the heroes' abilities... My apologies. All the heroes' abilities have gotten another equilibrium pass using the Witch Doctor, getting 3 or 2 pages of changes. New Ethereum rifts and bounties happen to be greatly tweaked. Low-level crafting stuff was scrapped completely. No surprise. It was small. The preview video of Blizzard goes for nearly 6 minutes. The launch of Carrier's Cube is quite significant when you are a Diablo fan. It is worth simply having for the changes of the block alone. In the event that you would like to find finer details, then go on over to Diablo 3's battle.net page as well. Yes, it is time for Diablo 3 to get a bit of a facelift. I don't play Diablo 3. From what I hear, and again, it is a show about Tal talking about things he doesn't know. Much like Shuffle the News. but what it is it's a good game. It just needs, not a facelift per se, it just needs something to get it to the next level, and I think this patch will bring that to a lot of people. Speaking of getting it across the line, Metal Gear series has always delivered complex plots with unexpected twists and revolutions, altering your perception of people and events you thought you understood, according to GameSpot. Though Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, continues this tradition, and the majority of its plot focuses on the events at hand. Yes, early reviews for Phantom Pain, the new Metal Gear Solid 5. It scores, wait for it, perfect 10. What? It gets an essential rating. Oh god, why did I click on that link? It goes, oh, okay. It's an essential game. It's good. It tells a complex, unusual story that holds your attention from start to finish. The world and characters are captivating in their presentation. It tackles taboo topics with grace. Features a massive open world that's dense with exciting possibilities. Delivers best-in-class stealth gameplay. The monster base aspect is rewarding and engrossing, extending the scope of the game beyond the battlefield. A perfectly fitting piece to the twisted Metal Gear Solid saga. Only thing is it doesn't really have good pacing towards, particularly towards the end. It doesn't hold up. It has pacing issues towards the end. But apart from that, it has really, really good. It will be, the editor does note on this article, one of the editor's note on this article says that the story will be updated on September 1 with a video review on GameSpot, so have fun with that. Well, but this is a really in-depth review. It has a lot of spoilery type stuff in there as well. But that's the basics of it. I have little to no interest in playing Metal Gear Solid, particularly this is the PS4 rating, by the way. I think it isn't only a PS4 game, if memory serves me correctly. By the way, it is also an R-rated game. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. So, not coming here anytime soon. No, actually, I don't think I covered that story on the show. The classification board starts accepting R-rated games. I don't think I covered that story here on the Generic Live Show. I don't think I did. Did I? No, I don't think I did. But anyway, it was a while ago now. But really, really, it is really, really good game, according to Peter Brown. Today, he says that it's a really, really good game. The previous games aren't a prerequisite, but it certainly helped. You know, it certainly helps to get character development and that sort of thing down pat, but you can just... And the one thing I like about a franchise that does this, and the Metal Gear Solid franchise definitely has a way of developing characters and that sort of thing right from the get-go through plot lines and that sort of thing. I don't like games that spend too much time on plot development. I like games that kind of... They don't have too thin of a characters, but they don't spend the whole introduction kind of... like kind of introducing high levels of plot and you know, not much actual gameplay with other mechanics and that sort of thing. But this has a perfect balance of that, according to this review. So Metal Gear Solid, by the way, that comes out September 1. So mark your calendars. Next Tuesday. That would be next Tuesday. The next Tuesday on your calendar. Yes, it's Metal Gear Solid Day. That's all right. And finally in the show, we have a little bit of a lighter show today. But after 3 months on the market, funnily enough, when I moved into my new apartment, yes, by the way, I have been in this apartment for 3 months this week. So after 3 months of being on the market, Crossy Road had been downloaded. Oh, by the way, sorry. It hasn't been on the market for 3 months. Whoa. After 3 months on the market, Crossy Road has been downloaded 50 million times, earning a revenue of more than $10 million. Now, after less than a year, an addictive game about a chook crossing a road, based on the good old joke, why did the chicken cross the road, has been downloading an astonishing 100 million times. It has generated enough money for the Victorian creators, Andy Sum and Matt Hall, the founders and sole members of the game studio Hipster Whale, to retire. But even so, they've continued to follow the familiar game model championed by leaders like Candy Crush Saga and Clash of Cans, of working consistently on new updates in addition to the game to keep fans coming back to that big, bulky time machine of adventurous creatures. In a characteristic break with the controversial mobile app Thinking, however, they've now put the game on the back burner to focus on something different. There you go. Quote, it was not long after the release of Crossy Road that Japanese publishing agency Bonachi Nupco called us and asked us if we'd interested in having a go at Pac-Man, Hall said. The publisher had eventually been inspired by the duo's game, which, after all, was an attempt to blend the classic game Frogger with the variety of Flappy Bird and a smart, fair approach in asking for players for money, and wanted to see what they could do with the iconic yellow Ghost Muncher. Mm-mm. The result is Pac-Man 256 that has been live on the iOS and Android for about a week and shortly made it to the top of the iOS charts in 47 countries. But Australia held out. It is number two here in Australia. So, you know, number one around the world. You know. But in their home country, it is still number two. Go Australia. Not number four, number... to just one of those hands. But apart from that, yes. Upon its release, according to Harl, it has been downloaded 3 million times so far. Yes. So, it is still glitchy, however, but, you know, It is, you know, it has the Pac-Man feel and the Crossy Road feel as well. you collect the dots and you cross roads and avoid ghosts. It looks pretty cool. I haven't downloaded the app. I should. You know what I'm going to do? Right now, live on the show. People like it when I do this, and you know, I have a bit of spare time to pad on the show. I'm going to download things live because that seems like a brilliant idea that has worked previously in the past. I'm going to keep my phone on mute, by the way. What was it called? Pac-Man. No, 256. Why 256, by the way? The Endless Maze. I'm going to install. It is by Brandy Nuco Entertainment Europe. And it is, holy moo cow, it is 26.83 megabytes. Okay. While that downloads, though, we'll have that for the end of the show. And that sort of thing as well. That's going to do it for us. While that downloads, by the way, though, we're going to tell you where you can find us. It is a little bit early, but, you know, we want a shorter show. We don't want to fill up your whole hour. We just want the time slot, more so than anything else. Half an hour is too short, an hour is too long. So this middle ground is fine. You can find us at chefwondermedia.net/GLS, geek-io.net/GLS, gplus.to/genericliveshow will tell you, have all the events there, and you can comment on it. You can view the YouTube at youtube.com/genericliveshow. Remember, support the Geek.io Patreon at patreon.com/geek.io. It helps us out as well here at GLS. It'll remove some of the ads and we can get more cool music and that sort of thing on the show. It'll help all of us out tremendously. I'm going to do a little bit of a plug as well. The Mana Pool, a D&D playthrough podcast as well on the Geek.io network, which I am a part of. It helps that out and will make that more of a regular thing on the regular as well. Whoa, okay. Okay, I don't know if any of you heard that. It's not letting me turn down my volume on my phone. Oh, there you go. Okay. And by the way, folks, this is what it looks like. It is still... That's what it looks like. So, I'm going to play that in just a second. But before I do that, thank you to Savannah Singh, who did our artwork. Of course, remember, you can check us out on iTunes. Just search GLS to find us if you so desire to subscribe to us on our podcasting feed as well. I'm going to play a bit of this. So, I don't know. This is not really going to show up on the... I don't know how to... No, that won't work. If I had my other camera... Do I have my other camera around? Just a quick check of the desk. Something I should have prepared earlier. I do have my other camera around. It's not... Yeah, Google Hangouts isn't going to like me if I do that, though. Yeah, well, okay, that's too much effort. Alright, I'm just going to play it and hope that audio comes through. Whoa! Okay. That was really... Well, this looks really cool. So it's not like Crossy Road at all. Why were the pictures saying it was like Crossy Road? What the living heck? Whoa! Okay. Okay. Why? Okay, close. Ooh. Okay, so I lost. It's not like Crossy Road at all, by the way. What a gift. I ate 0 of 2 melons. I got a score of 418. 0 ghost change. 17 dot change. I want to earn gift. Cooking fever. A variety of restaurants. Oh, I have to watch. I'm gonna turn that down. I have to watch ads to gain credits. Is that what I have to do? All right. No, that's awesome. It's basically a random generated map of the original Pac-Man, but it's more flat as well. By watching that ad, I earned 64 C's. That is awesome. Okay. What's a leaderboard? Google Play Games. Connecting to Google Play Games. I'm going to select that account. The leaderboard. Oh, sign in. Come on. It doesn't take that long. But what I was thinking is that... Oh, crap. Okay. Well, that kind of ruined that. High score. No one in my social circle has played it. High score of all time is a name I cannot pronounce. Yes, but he scored a total of 5 million points. The next one behind it's 29,000. Nice. That's awesome. Should I play again? I'm going to play again. Will it let me play again? Let's see if it will let me play again. Play. Okay, here we go. So I get to slide up first. The noise is down on this one. Let's see if I can quickly turn that up. Okay. Awesome. I can quickly do... Ooh, there you go. Right. Oh. No. Okay. First of all, the end game. Oh, I beat my high score of 45. I get a laser. You get lasers and that sort of thing as well. Okay. I'm going to exit out of that. That is really fun. It is an endless runner Pac-Man game. It's not like Crossy Road at all. Why did the picture on this picture on the article lie to me? Another reason why you don't prove... You don't believe everything you see on the internet. That's another thing as well. I hope you liked that live app review as well. That was pretty cool. Thank you everyone for joining me. That was a really weird way to end a show. I haven't ended a show like that before, but you know what? Why the hell not? Thank you everyone for joining us. I'll see you all next week. Bye for now. It's 10:58.
You're listening to a program of the Chef Wonder Media Network. For this and other shows, visit chefwondermedia.net.
This has been a Geek.io production.
Copyright 2015.
Geek.io.
Geek.
Geek. Geek.